Grace to you and peace from God who is, who was, and who is to come. Amen. I feel like I need to start off with a little bit of a warning. My opening example here is really not a G or even a PG rating. So if you need to cover young ears or distract some folks for a few minutes, that's okay. Because earlier this week, I came across an eyewitness account of how an occupying army responded with retribution to its uncooperative citizens. While the holy place blazed, the victors plundered everything that fell in their way. They slaughtered wholesale all who were caught. No pity was shown for age, no reverence for rank. Children and elderly, laity and priest alike were massacred. Every class was pursued and encompassed in the grasp of war, whether they were begging for mercy or offering resistance. And the din, nothing more deafening or appalling could be conceived than the noise. There were the war cries of the armies sweeping onward in mass, the howls of the people who, cut off from above, fled panic-stricken, only to fall into the arms of the foe, and their shrieks as they met their fate. But yet more awful than the uproar were the sufferings. You would indeed have thought that the Temple Hill was boiling over from its base, being everywhere one mass of flames, but yet that the stream of blood was more copious than the flames, and the slain more numerous than the slayers. For the ground was nowhere visible through the corpses, but the soldiers had to clamber over the heaps of bodies in pursuit of the fugitives. Here in the United States, we have had awful things happen these past few months as well. We've had senseless killings, first a maniac in Nevada, and then a former military reject attacked a congregation in Texas. We've endured hurricanes, Harvey, Irma, Maria, which devastated vast tracts of Texas and Florida, nearly wiped out all of Puerto Rico. Some of those places were still rebuilding from the effects of Katrina before this trio of destruction came along. This last week, we heard allegations, accusations, charges of sexually inappropriate behavior brought against people from all walks of life, people in positions of power, politicians, entertainers, news people, all of who used their position of influence to bend subordinates to their own sexual desire. We've heard about raging fires out in the western states and a years-long drought that, when it finally broke, the nearly overwhelming rain caused flooding and landslides. Now, maybe here in central Pennsylvania, we're feeling a little inoculated. We really haven't suffered from droughts that in turn brought about fire. We didn't really feel the wrath of any of those hurricanes. Yeah, we got some strong winds and some rain, but nothing like what they got in the southeast. Here in the mid-state, we might even be a little bit dulled by all of these sex report scandals and trials. We've had to endure our own. And we had to learn how to live with our own mass shooting just a couple of years ago from West Nickel Mines. And so while we mourn with the rest of the nation over this reasonless loss of life, those reports almost open up our own wounds. And too often we turn inward with our own memories, and we might tune out the trauma that the greater part of the nation is going through. But regardless of whether we were tuning out what's happening or whether we're focused on it, all of this pain and suffering and hurt continues on, and we do care. Or maybe we don't care. Or maybe we're somewhere in the middle. I don't know. I don't know where you're at. But I really wonder if that's not how the people in our gospel reading this morning might have been feeling. You see, our text this morning, it's what we call an apocalyptic text. You might be familiar with the word apocalypse, although more likely you've heard it in the way that movies and television tend to use that word, and they mean the end of time or total destruction. But in reality, that word apocalypse means literally revelation. Something is being revealed. That's why the last book of our New Testament is literally titled in Greek, The Apocalypse of John. It's usually translated as the Revelation of John. We're more familiar with it more than likely as the Book of Revelation. I think, though, that's what's happening in our reading from Mark. You see, Jesus was in the temple. He was teaching his followers and anyone else who wanted to take part in the conversation. Earlier in the chapter, we didn't get it in our reading this morning, but earlier in the chapter, folks from a couple of different religious factions had come by, and they had questioned him. They were trying to trip him up. But Jesus, in our reading this morning, goes off on kind of a little bit of a tangent here. He wants folks to understand two things. First, he wants people to know that following him is going to alienate them from others. Alienate them, possibly to the point of bloodshed. He also wants them to know that he will return. And he tells them what to look for. And it's not pretty. In those days, after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Yet in the midst of that coming darkness that he's talking about, he also gives them a word of promise. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branches become tender and put forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near at the very gates. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Hope in the darkness. That's what Jesus gave to his hearers. He gave it to them 2,000-ish years ago, and he gives it to us today. The people in Jesus' day needed to hear this word of hope because they were looking for the Messiah, and they believed that the Messiah was coming and was going to lead them in revolt against their enemies, that they were going to rise up, throw the Romans out of Israel, and that they would be people to live a free life. That's what they expected the Messiah to do. The first hearers of Mark's gospel needed to hear this word of hope as well, a few decades after Jesus first gave them, because that opening that I read just a few moments ago, that opening of blood and death and destruction, that was an eyewitness account of the Jewish revolt from 66 to 72 in the first century, when the Roman legion laid siege and led to the destruction of the temple and the razing of Jerusalem. The account I read came from a book called The Jewish War. It was written by a Jewish rebel turned Roman who was named Josephus. The residents of Jerusalem needed a sign of hope. The first century believers were expecting Jesus to return soon. And when he hadn't arrived yet, Mark, through the words of Jesus, gave the people the hope that they needed, a reminder of the promise that Jesus made. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Jesus will return. He will come again. We call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And we call him that for a reason. God is with us in everything that happens to us. With all of the good and gracious and wonderful things that happen to us, as well as in the awful, horrible, destructive things that we go through. God is with us. And Jesus will return. He will bring about a light that will never go out. He will stop all this senseless destruction and chaos and killing and bring with him a new world of grace and peace. And so we prepare. We get ready. And we wait, knowing that Jesus will come again, because he promised. And Christ always keeps his word. Amen.